Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, September 29th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the St. Paul City Council ups the ante on taxes over Mayor Chris Coleman. State investigators have turned over the Philando Castile police shooting case to the Ramsey County Attorney for review. Laura Ewan reports.
The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension presented its investigation to county prosecutors to determine if there will be any charges against the St. Anthony police officer who shot and killed Castile back in July. Castile, an African-American school cafeteria worker, was shot by Officer Geronimo Yanez during a traffic stop in Falcon Heights. Ramsey County Attorney John Choi said his office will work to, quote, determine what justice requires in this case. He said his office is also engaging national use of force consultants to help prosecutors evaluate the BCA investigation. Choi has yet to say whether he'll make a charging decision himself or take the more typical route of bringing the case to a grand jury. He also said it's unclear when his review of the case will be completed. Laura Ewan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
New numbers show outside groups are flexing their financial muscle in races that will determine party control of the Minnesota legislature. Brian Baxt has more.
New fundraising and spending reports show the hefty amounts being sunk into critical contests. The Democratic-aligned Alliance for a Better Minnesota has already spent about $3.6 million to prop up DFL candidates. A collection of pro-Republican groups, meanwhile, had millions in reserve to use in the final month of campaigning. The outside group spending will dwarf what the candidates themselves can devote to their campaigns. Both House and Senate control are at stake this fall. Republicans are defending their House majority, and Democrats hope to retain the Senate. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota personal care assistants who voted to form a union 2 years ago are already working on a second contract with the state. Tim Pugmire reports.
Leaders of the PCA union say they'll seek an increase in the minimum hourly pay from $11 to $15, as well as provisions for overtime and training when negotiations begin Friday. Their first ever contract won't expire until next summer, but they want a tentative agreement by the end of the year. The push comes as some anti-union PCAs are waging a campaign to force a union decertification vote. Their lawyer, Doug Seaton, said too few PCAs voted in 2014.
We are now circulating the cards to get a new election. We're finding very little support for the union when we go door to door.
Asked about the opposition, a leader of the PCA union said they won't let a small group silence their important work. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The St. Paul City Council added about $1 million to the tax increase proposed this summer by Mayor Chris Coleman. Council members backed off from an even bigger tax hike that Coleman vetoed just last week, but said his revenue goals are too low. Tim Nelson has more.
The council's vote last night prolongs a fiscal dispute in City Hall, sending it into a three-month overtime. The council approved one of the biggest tax increases of Mayor Chris Coleman's 11 years in office. Only during the housing market collapse and the Great Recession were the city's tax hikes greater. The latest is more than triple the average property tax levy hike over the last 5 years.
You know, this is going to be a huge burden on the fixed income folks, the seniors, the disproportionate neighborhood, Brocktown, North End, Dayton's Bluff.
That's Councilmember Dai Tao urging his colleagues to back away from adding $1 million on top of Coleman's own proposal to boost taxes by about $5 million next year. Tao was one of three council members who opposed the higher levy target. Coleman initially didn't even want that much additional revenue, but he asked for it after a boost in state aid vanished in a tax bill impasse at the Capitol. This is the first budget round for two new members of the council, Rebecca Naker and Jane Prince. The outcome could be a sign that the council is flexing some political muscle in what has been a mostly deferential budgeting process in St. Paul, one that reflects the city's strong mayor system. Coleman didn't like an even higher levy target the council sent him last week. He vetoed it. His spokeswoman, Tanya Tennyson, says he'll let this one through because a veto would let stand last year's tax levy, and the city needs some added revenue.
Vetoing this means vetoing his budget proposal, and he thinks that would be disastrous. So at this point, it's setting a tax ceiling, and now the focus moves to December 14th, when they will set a final budget and a final tax levy.
St. Paul officials often spend the final weeks of a budget process haggling over details and could cut spending and the tax levy before they send the final figure to tax collectors. But the council sounded determined to stick to their increase as they defied Coleman last night. Nager says constituents were urging her to address long-standing unmet needs in the city.
Not raising the levy is just kicking the can down the road to pay for things later on. And I think that that's really what I'm trying to do here is to be strategic and to make some good policy, which I think means making sacrifices now to make sure that we're investing in the long term.
Property owners will get a chance to weigh in at a Truth in Taxation hearing later this fall. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.